great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we are talking with Kenji Oda, a world musician who plays guitar, sitar, and tempura, and probably just about anything that has strings. He has studied and toured with Ravi Shankar, and he is in studio with his sitar and many friends yet to be announced, so stay tuned. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio, and now here are your hosts, Jeff Flo to the Izzo and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a very interesting show today, and I'm really proud of it because we're really going into some interesting instrumentation. This instrument that we're going to be talking about tonight, the sitar, it was probably the first time American kids were introduced to this sound was in the early 60s. That's it. The Norwegian Wood with the Beatles. George Harrison was probably he introduced it to kids. I mean, the instrument had been around for years, and I think it's actually even older than guitar. And anyway, it caused a big stir in music in the 60s. There's other artists that used it, Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues. It was on all sorts of hits. And tonight we're talking to one of the masters of it. He's been playing for a long time, Kenji Oda. Kenji is he played with Ravi Shankar. He toured with him. He played now. There's different ways to pronounce this. I found out it's tempura. It's also tambura or tamburi, depending on.
Does that mean I totally hosed it?
No, you did fine, but there's like five different
versions. Tempura.
Tempura is what I discovered was the way he
sometimes
says.
Sometimes I take my wife to the restaurant to get tempura.
There you go. But it's spelled a little different. T-A-N-P-U-R-A. Anyway, he played that, which is an accompanying instrument for sitar, for Ravi Shankar. You can see him in the DVD concert for George Harrison in 2003 that came out over at the Royal Albert Hall, which, you know, some people like Gary Clapton and George's son Danny and a bunch of different, I think Paul McCartney was there, a whole bunch of them. He's also played on Joe Chappelle's a violinist CD. He's recorded with Rowan Robertson. He's toured with Tal Tantra, Tomoy Bose's band, and he's been touring currently with Anushka Shankar, Ravi's daughter. To start it off, though, let's play a clip. This is called Madman T, and this is actually a collaboration with him and Rowan Robertson. Rowan, you might remember, was on our show a few weeks ago. He's an amazing guitar player. Anyway, let's play this clip for a minute.
Oh,
Please welcome Kenji Oda. Kenji, welcome. It's a real honor to have you on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you.
That was a collaboration with him and Rowan, and you can hear the meld of East and West in there because there's some amazing guitar riffs that he's doing. And then you give me an echo chamber. I love it. He's got he's playing the sitar with the echo thing, and he's doing these like really radical bends that guitar players only dream about doing. It was really cool. Anyway, tell us a little bit more about your background, because I want everybody to know too, he's an accomplished guitar player, very good guitar player. We're going to play some clips of him playing guitar, but you're probably most known for your sitar and timbura playing.
Yeah.
So did you, did you go to India to study that, or did you learn it? You're originally from Japan.
Yeah, originally from Japan. I came here for like a rock and roll band. Mm-hmm. I was bringing like, all kinds of.
He showed us a picture of him with like really long hair. It was just, we were all cracking up. Anyway, I digress.
I started from there and, getting older and, my mind expanded, reached to the Indian music, kind of. Psychedelic. Mm-hmm. Start from psychedelic, and I'm more into classical Indian music.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just came back from. You were in a. It's kind of like a music festival, I guess, in India. Can you talk a little bit about that, real quick?
Which one?
You were in India. You just came back from India.
Oh yeah, 1 week ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was touring with Anushka Shankar, daughter of the Ravi Shankar's, and she had 5 concerts in the. All around India, so I was touring,
Okay, but I thought there was a festival over there, too.
A couple of them is a big festival, part of the big festival.
Oh, okay.
And it was really successful. Yeah, I was on the newspaper and everything.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody also, too, I'll mention real quick, he has a Facebook page, Kenji Oda, and check it out because it shows some of the stuff that he was doing and places that he had been. Tell us a little bit now, coming from as a guitar player, and you can relate to this as a guitar player, can you, let's go through the sitar a little bit and explain how it's tuned, and we can go a little bit how you play it.
Okay, there's like 2 layers of the strings, like a down bottom, there's...
Okay, these are like a drone strings that are like under the frets.
Under the fret and under the main strings. Main strings, we have like 6, mainly... Like a one string and a rhythmic, string. And that's the bass lower strings.
What's the tuning of those strings?
One and the fifths, and sometimes fourths.
Oh, okay.
And these are like all like depends on the lager you play. It's all tuned differently.
Okay. And he's bending. The frets stick out over the fretboard. It's like an oval shape, and what he does is he pulls on them to bend. And he's got a lot of room there, so you can see he can bend pretty radically.
So 5 notes, like... Instead of like...
So you always pull them. You don't press in.
Right.
You don't press into the bend.
So it's all kinds of trick with this.
And that last piece that he was playing, he was basically doing melodic things by just bending, playing the bending. Now, does that have a lot of... Is that pretty easy to get sustain? Or is it you have to really work at it to get
the... Oh, yeah. You have to get the calluses on
calluses.
The fingers.
Yeah.
And it's... painful for
because you get a lot of sustain. You're holding the notes. You can hear it for a while. Now that little shimmer that you get after when you hit that note, that's the resonant string that's
right.
That. So you hear that little and sound that's coming in from.
It's a resonant for these things. So it sounds more echoey.
Yeah, those are resonant strings that gives that whole timbre to the instrument.
Yeah.
Now I noticed that the frets are spaced kind of oddly.
Yeah, actually you can move the frets too for some different scale.
And he actually just slid one of the frets. they're bound by, what is this, a rubber band, or is this
it's
leather?
I'm not sure what it is, but
it's like a string or something that's bound around it, so that you can actually move them around. So how many strings are there all together?
19
strings. So you have 6 and then 13
drums. 13 of this one. The 2 is like a rhythmical string.
So he has the 4 strings that he plays melodically. He has tuning keys up on the top, and he has 2 giant like side keys on the neck for the other 2 strings, and then the drone strings are these little, they look like banjo pegs on the side, and they're, and then the bridge, what's on, is this bridge?
It used to be playing, made of Dear Home, mm-hmm. but these days it's hard to get it, and they start make it with some kind of plastic, mm-hmm. it's really hard, this one is still Dear Home.
Mm-hmm. The bone.
Horn.
Horn. I'm sorry. And then what's this soundboard on here?
It's Indian mahogany. It's called Tun.
And the back is mahogany?
This sitar is like, mahogany. And but like the real one, it's like with a gourd, mm-hmm. dried.
Oh, it's a gourd. Okay. And then the neck is mahogany?
Yeah.
So it's pretty much mahogany.
Hollow inside.
Oh, it's okay. The neck is hollow. Oh, that's how come it. Okay, that would explain. It just rings. So yeah. So interesting wood. So is there any other different woods that they use on those? Or
sometimes they use a teak wood. It's more hard.
How's
the sound? Looks really nice. It depends. You know, all the sitar different sound. You know, mm-hmm. same. You know, wood different sound. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No. Okay. So it just depends.
Depends. Yeah.
Now there's no holes. This just vibrates.
Yeah.
Is there any?
Yeah. Just vibrates.
It just there is no place where there.
No.
And this one that he has in the studio is actually a smaller unit, a smaller sitar. The big one. This one is. It's about what is it? About 3 feet or a little.
It's
less?
About the size of the guitar. A little bit longer, maybe.
Yeah. And then the normal size, the full size ones are.
The body is bigger, and the head is with like this kind of wooden pegs, so mm-hmm. it's bigger space.
Okay. Let's play a clip from with him with Ravi Shankar now, and we're going to talk a little about the other instrument that he's played, the tampura. This is Raga Kamaj.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and play that. Ravi Shankar on sitar and Kenji on tempura, and that's from the Living Room Sessions Part 2, just so you know what that was. Tell me a little bit about the tempura. That's the drone sound that's going on the back. Okay.
Mostly like the root and the fifths, mm-hmm. sometimes third or fourth, and it's like a canvas.
Now, it looks similar to this. How many strings are on it?
4 or 5.
Okay.
4 or 5, and playing like a root and the fifths mostly, and sometimes third and the fourth. Mm-hmm. So make the canvas for the sound, because like if you play like this, just a sound. But if you have like the drone instrument behind it, this means like a third note, mm-hmm. fourth note, you know, you can see this. colors.
Now with the tambora, you have it, you tune it to whatever the demands of the song are. But can you change keys, or is it basically a drone in a certain?
Basically the same all the way.
Okay.
Indian music doesn't have a chord changes, and like one instrumental have a certain keys.
Mm-hmm.
Like one singer got a certain keys, other instrument got a certain key. They don't change.
Okay.
They change a lot of different scales, mm-hmm. but
now when this piece that we played just a little segment of it, it's about a 20-minute piece. Is he playing a specific melody or is he improvising?
He's improvising.
He's improvising. So he's basically similar to in some of our in the jazz fusion and some of the rock stuff. What they'll go on to when they'll stay in one harmonic place and they'll just go for it over it, especially in jazz. Jazz would do that. They would let them, you know, so the soloist would go ahead and voice and do a lot of weird stuff, and it still has that bass level of harmony. But the tempura, so basically you're just laying that foundation for the whole thing.
Right.
Now, is there different sizes of tempura?
Oh, yeah, different sizes. Used to be like a bigger than shita, like mm-hmm.
So you're saying about 4 feet?
Yeah.
4 or 5
so
feet.
It's hard to travel with.
Mm-hmm.
So they embedded like a smaller size, like this much, like a guitar size.
Yeah, okay.
And so you can travel with
it. So you have the smaller one. Is it the same type of wood, mahogany?
Depends. It's mahogany. Some are like these days they have like a what's it called? Graphite kind of thing.
Oh wow. Okay, so they are using newer materials.
Yeah.
Okay. And these instruments now that you play, do you have like contact pickups in them, or do you just basically mic?
Yeah, microphone. And I have a contact mic on the face.
When you tour, you use the contact more. Yeah, I would think that would make more sense. But so you've been playing. Now you've been playing the tempura for as long as you've been playing the sitar, or about the same.
About the same.
So so you just go back and forth whatever what the needs are for the group, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's go ahead and play another clip. I'm going to play something that's kind of show what he's doing with guitar so you can hear some of his guitar work. This song is called Baby Bird. It was co-written by Tara Jane King and Kenji. And Kenji's doing the 12 strings, bass, and percussion on this. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit of this. Beautiful piece, but it's interesting now. You're using a 12 string in there, mm-hmm. and you can hear the influence. So he's doing kind of a drone thing on one of the guitars, and then the phrasing on the 12 string is very similar to how you play the sitar.
Actually, yeah.
So
this song is.
Now, as a guitar player, how do you? Let me ask you this: did you start on guitar before you did, or did you start on sitar? You start on guitar. So how do you approach, as a guitarist, how do you approach sitar? I mean, is it, do you play it? Do you still think in terms of guitar, or do you?
Actually, you have to forget about the guitar.
Okay.
You have to forget about the guitar for, you know.
Okay.
When you learn in the sitar, it's like all like a sarigama padanisa. This is sarigama padanisa, sanida pamangaresa. You can't think about C or D or, you know. Do, re, mi.
Yeah, a 12 tone. It's not.
It have to think differently.
Okay. Can you explain it? I'm trying to let everybody know the difference, but I don't know how to, because I'm coming from a Western view, so I'm already prejudiced as it is. I'm thinking, you know, 12 tone. And I,
it's same. It's a 12 tone, same thing. It's just you know, some ragas skipping the notes and ascending and descending differently and all kinds of, you know,
so
combinations.
You don't you don't approach scales the same way.
No.
Okay.
Like even ragas, it's not just a scale. It's more like a melody forms, mm-hmm. and it, lots of, you know, rules, like a raga kamaji. Sevens, ascending is like a major seven, but descending is like a flat seven.
Okay.
So those kind of, you know, rules you have to follow. And, mm-hmm. you know, not just a rule, but like a, it's a melody forms like that.
Okay, so you go flat. Well, that,
hey,
that,
Kenji? When you play guitar, do you play any unique tunings for a guitar? Are you playing open tunings, or are you playing standard?
Some, you know, drop D, or some, like, I play, you know, open G.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if, like, the, you know, when you moved to learning sitar, if it actually caused you to say, hey, let's tune the guitar different. Let's
yeah, that's right, yeah. More like a, you can use all the string drawing, mm-hmm. you know.
Have you ever played the... the name of it slipping mind, but the guitar that plays just like a guitar, but
the electric sitar.
The electric sitar. Have you ever played that before? Is that
yeah?
Does it come
bit.
Close or is it?
It's just a same as a guitar.
Is it gimmicky? You think?
Or? It's a tone. It's like, you know, like a yeah. close to the sitar, but like the same as a guitar. Good thing is you can play the guitar chords on the sitar sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you have you. Do they play chords on
no,
this?
No, they don't have a chord. You can play like, you know, like a... But they yeah. don't do it. And they don't have a chord changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's one key.
It's one key. All right, but I mean, you don't... I've never heard anybody... Now, I do have a piece that we'll play in a minute where you actually do double sitar parts, like double leads, as we would say in guitar music. But you do a double thing, which is really kind of cool. But the but basically it's a, you the most the main focus is single notes.
Right.
Yeah. You just do you do that. Now let me ask you something about Baby Bird real quick.
Mm.
Was that a normal tuning or did you use a drop D on that?
Normal tuning.
Normal
it
tuning.
It was key in A, so
okay.
You know, like a
key of A.
A and the E.
Okay. And then which actually let's talk a little guitar here. So what were you using on that? Was that
Martin 12 string. Yeah.
Okay. And that was it. So what were you using? You were using a bass in there too, right?
Yeah.
What bass?
Yeah. I had jazz bass.
Jazz bass.
Double jazz bass.
Okay. And then you did some little percussion in there.
Yeah.
So also too, while we're thinking about it, talking about percussion, I might as well show some of these different instruments and then we'll play some of them. Can you pull that other, that little drum? And can you talk about this a little bit? I'm going to go through. We have some other instruments here, and we have Thorin here with yeah. another instrument called the halo, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So this guy.
And this one he's holding now is a tabra.
Okay. It's a small drum.
Yeah.
And
tune into the pitch with a shita, like a brand D.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And then it has like a... The is that like a rubber middle part
it's
on the top of the head?
Graphite mixed with you know some kind of rice and some you know mm-hmm. secret things in there. It makes the tone. Mm. It sustains.
Can you play a little bit with the mute? How you muted it? And then the bigger we have a little one here, but the bigger one's the one they bend.
Like
they boom, the, yeah, they do the bend on there. Okay, and then also, too, while we're at it, let's, Thorin, can you explain this? It's a very interesting instrument. When I saw yeah. this, I was blown away.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called a halo. It's developed by initially a company out in Switzerland called PanArt. This is actually made domestically by a company called Pantheon Steel, and mm-hmm. it's basically a major pentatonic, entirely steel. It's developed about 15 years ago. And it's very, very resonant. It's kind of like maybe a cross between like a medicine bowl or a gamelan,
mm-hmm.
very traditional to like Balinesian music.
Yeah, it. We have pictures of it. So you'll have to we'll take a look at it on our site. You can see this. Go ahead and show us a little bit how it's played, sure. And so you can give an idea how it's tuned too. What's happening is in the center of it, it looks kind of, I'm totally being disrespectful, but I don't mean, it looks like a big shield, actually. If you look at it sideways, to me, it looks like a flying saucer, but that's another story. Anyway, the center of it has like a little bump in the center, and that's where the root is of the tune of the,
exactly.
And then he has these little areas around the edges. They're indented with like a little ding in it or a bump in it, yep. And that's where the tones are, and those are tuned to the certain,
exactly. So that's the low G, and that's, you know, similar. It has a it's really the root note, and you can kind of drone, and then this is the high G, and then C, D, and so forth.
And he usually plays this with a stand, and he can spin it because literally it's chromatic all the way around.
Yeah.
So he can basically just play all the notes, and he moves it around as he wants to play different melodic things. But he's it's very fascinating. Go ahead and play a little bit more of it.
Sure, sure.
Trying to give us a little more of the what it can do. Now, he's limited. He's not able to spin it around. He's playing it on the floor. So he's basically staying around three or four notes. So it's,
yep.
And that's why he's limiting himself harmonically to that area. But this instrument's basically about 15 years old.
Exactly,
roughly.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, essentially you have the concave steel drum, which is developed in the Caribbean. It's convex, which really allows for the resonance.
And this was originally designed in Switzerland. It's a Swiss instrument.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. No, that's it's amazing sound. It has a really cool, and I remember even JP actually knew about it. He's in studio with us from Incendio, JP Durand, and I thought I was going to surprise you, like, you never heard of this thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know. That's one of those.
So Jeff, do we want to take a break? Do you guys want to play us out to a break, or how are you thinking?
We'll come
thinking?
Back into a break.
Okay.
Go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back, because I got to grab my guitar.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700, or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. Our number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
Rock and roll!
All right, everyone, you are listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, and I'm Paul Reed Smith from PRS Guitars, and that's kind of what's going on. Enjoy the show.
That was great. I also want to mention, real quick, Thorin, could you give us some information? You're in a reggae band, right?
Yeah, sure. I play in an electronic reggae band. We're called Rage Area. We're based in Venice. That's R-A-G-E-A-R-E-A.
And your website's ragearea.com?
Rageearea.com. I'll take to the Tumblr page. We're currently in the studio right now quite a bit.
Cool. And just let us know when you're playing live. We have to check this out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So anyway, okay. But anyway, getting back now. Okay, we went through the let's go ahead and play this other clip, Morning Flowers Prayer. Let's play that real quick. JP, you wanted to ask a question.
So I don't know. I was just thinking. I wanted to know how you met Ravi, and then how you came to play with Anushka, because they're both incredible and great family lineage. So,
Before him, I was learning the sitar from his American student here in Pasadena area, and somehow, I got to get to him and start touring with him.
So the first time you were out there with him, you're like, you're on stage. I'm on stage with Ravi Shankar. That's got to be wild.
Oh, yeah. It's wild.
Were you scared?
Very much, yeah. So.
And that's how you met Anushka then, right?
Yeah, right.
So you're now with her group, you're doing the Indian flamenco hybrid, the Mediterranean mixture of all those things.
Her staff. She needed a sitar technician for the tour. And I can fix the sitar and I can, do all kind of stuff.
That's so cool.
So when you play with her, are you playing sitar too? Or are you playing just mainly tempura?
Yeah, tempura, yeah.
Tempura.
Their sitar level is much, much higher than me. They are a super genius.
Uh-huh. Now, let me add, the reason I played Morning Flowers part, which is all Kenji on there, he's playing all the instruments and he's doing all the vocals, is you were doing the double leads, which I've never heard sitar do double leads. That was kind of interesting. But you can see the merging of the harmonically what he's doing. He's putting it into a Western sensibility, but basically it's very, the scales and what you're playing is very Eastern-like. So do you find it hard to, you came from rock and roll and stuff like that, so you basically have a Western background from the beginning. Is it using the sitar and the tambura, is it pretty easy to incorporate in a lot of stuff? Because I'm sure you're called a lot, because that's a pretty exotic instrument and it's a unique sound.
It's not easy, but if you find something direction, I can figure out more than somebody doesn't know.
Because I'm pretty sure, especially soundtrack work, they basically just, they just write the notes and you just play it and they just want that sound. But you do some of the stuff that you're playing and even on some of the other pieces that I showed, there's more expression, there's more to it where you're creating the melodies by the bend as opposed to just playing notes. Because usually, in a session situation, they write it out, so you're just playing those notes as opposed to really... the key thing, especially that thing you did with Rowan, the way you're phrasing it, because it's not just plucking the note or playing a note. He's creating melodies just from the bend and the sustain of it. Is that part of... When you learn the sitar, the traditional way, is that part of it? That,
yeah, totally.
Because I noticed that Ravi was a master at that. He bends, but he does all these weird melodic things he was doing.
Yeah, totally. you know, those kind of practice all the time.
Now, I noticed that you had done on the Mad Men, you actually bent and did a vibrato. Is that characteristic to the instrument, or is that you westernizing it and kind of bluesing it up?
No, it was kind of based on the raga.
Oh, okay.
Called the Madhubanti.
Okay.
That's why I called it Madhubanti.
Oh, okay.
Raga Madhubanti.
What's the original raga? Or can you play just a little bit of that? It's interesting. He's doing, just to explain a little bit, he's plucking on one finger and then bending on the other. So like if you were playing like on your guitar, if you're, you know, at first fret, you're playing on your B string, you're playing a D, you're plucking it off and then you're bending on your first finger. So he's plucking with the third finger. Can't do that easily on guitar, but it works really well on there. And it's kind of a cool sound.
So, Kenji, does the sitar have harmonics like similar to like a guitar, and do you use them?
If you want to do it, you know, you can do it, but
is
it's not really.
Or is that kind of a turning it western?
Kind of like a cheesy, you know. Some people do it for like just showing off, but like it's not really cool.
No,
I think what he's meaning is like on a guitar where you hit the harmonic like.
Oh, harmonic like that.
Yeah, sorry.
You can do it, yeah.
Is that something you use, or is that just not used for a sitar?
You can use it. Mm-hmm. You can use it.
Is it part of the Indian tradition, I guess, is the question. Is it used in that tradition?
Not really.
Because what he can do on there is, like, if you were playing this note here, I'm just pointing to his third fret, and he hits the harmonic, he could bend it. Can you hit this, play third fret, and then play the harmonic? I don't know where it is, because I don't know where the 12. Then hit the... And then bend it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, he can bend it on that. You can do that up higher on the guitar, but it's harder to do. And see, he can bend, because the way the string is set up, he can bend like a fifth.
Am I the only one thinking that's pretty cool?
For blues players out there, it's like, you know, I know guys that try to do that and their guitars fret out playing way up on the top, and it's like he could just do it like no big deal. It's like, it's pretty interesting. It's interesting because basically all the questions that we're asking were coming, it's all Western. Yes. We're asking, can you do this? It's like a blues lick, or can you bend this way? You can harmonize. We're so entrenched in our style of music, and it is a difference. There is a difference harmonic structure into their ear of, in Indian, especially Indian music. But the sitar isn't just Indian. It's used in other countries, right? Is it?
No, actually, it's Indian.
It is just, it's known as an Indian instrument?
Yeah, came from like a Persia, Iran now, like a 700 years ago.
It came from Persia?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it was like three strings, and they, you know.
The santur?
Not the santur.
I'm not the santur, the other one. I can't remember the name of it.
It came to the seta. It means a three string, started from there, and it became a bina. It's a South Indian.
Don't still use the instrument over in Iraq, Iran, which is ancient,
there's
what Persia
smaller
was.
Smaller Persian equivalent, and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, okay.
They just, you know, adding the strings and the, you know.
What about the tambour? Same thing? Is that indigenous to India and Persia, or is that from...
Tambour is like more larger than...
Because I've heard, you know, it's interesting, the similarity between this instrument and the koto. Because it's the same thing. They got elevated for, I mean, it's a different instrument, obviously. But the same type of thing where they bend, though, they do
they
the same thing.
They push the string down. Mm-hmm.
But it's similar. But, I mean, I guess there's no relationship to the two instruments then in their development. So.
Oh, but one thing I think is fascinating just from sitting and listening and watching is from a completely different viewpoint is when we end up talking to people about their guitar playing and practicing and so forth, they say, well, you know, I want to play like Clapton or I want to play like this or I want to play like that. And one of the things we tell them, one of the fundamental things about playing blues or rock guitar, blues guitar in particular, is bending in tune. That's one of the things that kind of separates the men from the boys or the women from the girls, whatever you want to put it. And also I remember reading years ago Henry Kaiser, the experimental guitarist, mm-hmm. talking about a high number of different ways that in certain types of Eastern music that a vibrato can be notated. And this is like the ultimate manifestation of that where you're bending. It's not only a characteristic like Clapton does this, or Hendrix does this, or Van Halen does this, or Malmsteen does that. You know, they all push and hold the note in a different way, even B.B. King. But with this instrument, you're talking about the ultimate manifestation of control of bending to get not only melodies, ragas, microtones. That's where the mastery of the instrument comes in, and it's fascinating to listen to you hit all those different points moving. I mean, you know, think about how confounded Western guitarists would be and were at some point when they had to move a fret. You moved a fret effortlessly and the intonation was correct. So, I mean, there's a lot of training that goes into, okay, I went from a half step to a whole step to a half step, and now I've got to do that raga in that place. So, once again, it's another example of the fact that in bending and to get, whether it's a vibrato or whether it's this, the bending in tune and being able to make a melodic statement that way is absolutely paramount importance at the top of the game in terms of technique. It's fascinating to watch you because you're a guitarist as well, so you know the value in both instruments of being able to do that, which is really cool.
Yeah, it truly is a situation which, you know, we talk about tone and gear here and guitars and stuff, but 99% of it, and I mean, the gear is important. It's in your hands. It's in those fingers. And if any instrument best demonstrates that, it's this instrument because it's all your hands. I mean, your tone, what you're doing melodically,
Jeff,
your phrasing.
Don't say it's in your hands because then that kind of validates our show.
Well, no, equipment's important. It could sound, but I mean,
our whole show is about tone. Yeah. If you're just saying it's in hands, then what are we doing here?
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's you know, there is a difference. You know, you can put somebody up there with a Strat and a Fender Tweed amp, and you know, Clapton sounds like Clapton, and you know, whoever Townsend who uses the same setup sounds like Townsend. And it's important. The equipment's important. I'm not trying to diminish that in any way, but it's in the hands too. Because I know play. Like I've heard stories. We had Phil Chen on with, you know, he was talking about a session with Beck, and I heard other musicians talk about Jeff Beck. He'd have this Strat that's just totally trashed. It's just ready to fall apart, and he comes in and just makes it sound amazing. You know what I mean? It speaks for itself. Now let me ask you one. We're almost at the end of the show,
and you guys need to play more.
That's true, and we're going to play a little more developed song for the end. So I want to give enough time for it. But I just wanted to ask you, in your practicing and stuff, how different is it? The exercises that you do, the strength in your hands and play, is it different for the sitar compared to the guitar? Or are you basically similar type of?
No, totally different. Okay. Totally different. Like a. The muscle you use is totally different, but
he was pointing to his in his wrist, the tendon in his wrist.
Oh, and it's, you know.
Before the show, he came on and he was playing my Martin, which what I'm using here tonight. And you can hear the strength in his hands. I mean, he was finger picking, and it's just like nailed it, and just really, you can tell his hands are really strong. And evidently, to play this, it takes a lot more dexterity and strength in the fingers.
Yeah, and this one is like only
Well, he has a little. He has a little pick too. It's kind of an interesting little.
This is like wire, so it's going. It's like so painful. See?
Yeah, that looks painful. Ow!
So you always use that? You don't use your fingers?
No.
That is amazing. You can't. You've never used like a regular pick that, like a
no,
steel
it's not
players.
Gonna work.
Oh, so you can trill. So he has like a little.
You know, it kind of looks a lot like a paper clip almost, kind of.
Yeah,
it's just wrapped around
wire.
His finger.
That hurts a lot.
That does not look comfortable.
But it gets that sound. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, this kind of movement. Totally...
No, that's great. Now, we're almost at the end of the show, and we're going to go ahead and play a little bit of a number that we worked together before the show. But I just, first of all, want to thank everybody here, Thorin, JP,
yes.
and Kenji.
Thank
just,
you.
And we want to thank our sponsors, Sweetwater.
Mm-hmm. Sweetwater Group.
And I guess before we do all that, let's mention next week we have Sennheiser
mm-hmm.
coming in the studio. And then after that, we have the guitar tech for Steve Vai, which is Thomas Nordig.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Martin Guitar. And then we have Martin Tracy Guns from LA Guns coming
LA
up in
Guns.
April. So.
And a special thanks to Ronan for manning the boards while I'm playing guitar. Anything coming up real quick before we start playing? Anything coming up for you that you want to mention playing anywhere or new albums or anything?
None like
that. Hold on.
Yep. Something?
Yeah, I mean, Kenji's actually he's working on a couple new tracks with me that'll be self-releasing.
I've been recording with him.
So mm-hmm. really, really cool stuff. Him on sitar and with the Halo. It's really, really amazing electronic music.
Cool. And then, JP, anything interesting coming up?
Incendio will be at the Coffee Gallery this Saturday, March 1st at 7 o'clock and playing around the nation supporting the new CD, Shape of Dreams.
Okay.
Cool. Right.
Okay. All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and play another tune that we worked out.
I say go for it, man.
Okay, here.
In the spirit of sitar, man, you guys should play for like a good 20 minutes.